Hello, welcome back. Let's jump right into lecture number 15. This is our third lecture in the series on repentance, and we're going to be talking about how you can lead a group of people through this wonderfully powerful and transforming exercise of repentance. So let me offer a prayer, and we will get started right away. Lord, thanks again for meeting us in this lecture. I pray that for everyone who's listening, that their hearts and their minds would be open to the truth you have. And Lord, I thank you for my story and the wonderful, gracious people, Lord, that you worked through to bring renewal and repentance to our church. Lord, thank you for the ways that you will do similar things in the ministries and churches represented by all those listening. So in advance, Lord, we praise your name. Amen. Okay, so the big idea kind of going through this series on repentance is that the church cannot move forward when it's saddled with sin. Okay, going back to Achan, when there is sin in the camp, you can't move forward. You've got to deal with it. You've got to address it. And so we are going to be today looking at an example of how I was able to lead my congregation through this. And when I say I led it, certainly, I mean, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is not a work that is done by human effort. We are really dealing in the realm of the work of the Spirit. And I've referred to the Spirit many times through these lectures, and for good reason. There's nothing here that I could do. I really, and my leaders, we really just had to rely on God to show up and do what he did. But I'll tell you what, when you start getting serious about repentance and wanting to see repentance and being willing to have God test you, the Psalm 139, and reveal to you, I find that that's a prayer God will always answer. He will move in and through that. So the basic model that I'm going to give as my story, and the one that I would commend to you, is really kind of a threefold, three-layer model, and kind of they really go in steps. So the first thing was really dealing with the pastor or the leader of the ministry, that person has to be kind of the first one into the pool. You know, if repentance is a pool and everybody's scared of the water, they don't know how cold it is, somebody's got to be the first one in. Or you think of the penguins on the ice shelves in Antarctica, and they don't know if the sea lion is down there going to gobble them. Well, one penguin has to jump in first, right? Usually it's a penguin, somebody gets pushed in first. But in this case, somebody has to jump in first. And that needs to be the leader. So in a couple lectures from now, we're going to be spending three lectures talking about the revitalized leader, that leadership, revitalized churches begin with revitalized leaders. So we're going to have some lectures really specifically for you. And part of that is, again, it's going to be starting with repentance. So I won't get too much into that because we've got a bit of that coming just a little bit down the road. But it does begin with the pastor modeling what repentance looks like and being honest and then being vulnerable about that. So for me, when this was happening, when we were starting the revitalization process, and I've shared when we got our assessment scores, they were just awful and they were terrible, and I just felt really bad about it, and I was defensive, but then I kind of embraced it. And when I shared with the leaders at different times after that I did feel really bad about that, and that I had been at the church for 5 or 6 years at that point, so like I owned it, like that I should have, you know, whatever was wrong with the church, like it was under my watch, and that, you know, I needed to be a better leader. I needed to be more effective in different ways. I had shared that I had put too much emphasis on programs. I had kind of launched some things without necessarily thinking about how it would fit with the congregation. I had kind of done some things without like enough people kind of behind it. I had wanted too much the church just to do kind of like my ideas instead of getting them to come alongside and or really just kind of what their ideas were and how we could work together. I just kind of laid it out kind of like from this kind of spiritual leadership thing I just laid it out. I had covered a few of my shortcomings and my spiritual disciplines that I was wrestling with, I hadn't prayed for the church the way I needed to. I hadn't studied scripture in terms of revitalization the way I needed to. And so I just laid that out. Now, it wasn't to the whole church, but I laid it out to our leaders, and not just all at once, but over a series of meetings and conversations, whether it was, again, around a conference table or it was one-on-one at lunch. But I was really just trying to model what repentance looks like. And so I was not just, again, confessing, but I confessed, and then I would say, well, this is what I'm trying to do about it, and I'm reading this book, and I'm getting coaching over here, or I've decided I'm going to do this Bible reading plan. I'm waking up, you know, extra early to do prayer, whatever. So I was really trying to model that for our leaders. And that's where it has to begin. If you don't do it, don't expect anyone else to do it. So you're the first one in the pool. You're the first one off the ice shelf. And there you go. You just got to do it. So they know what it looks like. And they know also that it's safe. Because when I was doing that, everybody was just very gracious. And everybody, it was interesting that as you repent, you will find that other people all of a sudden begin like sharing their shortcomings and their weaknesses and their need to repent as well. Like it just, they come alongside you. So that's what happened. Then it really was then for our key leaders to embrace repentance. And so I had a challenge for them. And I asked them to write a letter to the congregation. It was just kind of an open letter to the church. Really just kind of laying all our stuff out there. Acknowledging the present state of the church, recent turmoil that the church had been in prior to my getting there. Just kind of lay everything out. And so they did several drafts of it. And then I had done a message on repentance, and it was kind of like a half message. And then when I got halfway through the message, I invited all our elders and deacons. So at that time, there was probably maybe about 10 or 12. And then they came up and they read a letter that addressed numerous areas of disobedience and dysfunction in the congregation that they had identified. And what was amazing is that some of these people were like kind of brand new on our leadership team. They assumed full responsibility of decisions that had been made before they were even on our board. They were assuming responsibility of things that had happened in our history. If you remember, we talked about Ezra did that same thing, just owning it and just being very honest about things in our church that had been disappointing, things that had been hurtful, things that we had kind of allowed to go on, whether it was kind of the nature of relationships or just a lack of like evangelism, like we had kind of things we turned a blind eye to. So the elders and the deacons, they took turns reading parts of the letter. And somebody would read a part of the letter and then offer a scripture that spoke to it. And then another person would pray over it and be a prayer of confession and repentance. And we went through this whole front of our church was filled with these people who were publicly repenting. It was more than I could have ever thought, more than I could have imagined that they would do. And it was just a tremendous moment. I mean, it was a watershed moment for our congregation to see their leaders up front calling sin, sin, owning it and taking responsibility for it in a public setting on Sunday morning in worship. I can tell you, looking around the room, there were more than a few people who had tears in their eyes who were watching and just listening. And it was just an incredibly moving and a powerful experience. And what we did in the planning of that, as the leaders and were very transparent and they were very vulnerable, again, they had kind of done what I modeled for them, then they had done it. And then they, at the end of reading the letter, they had asked the congregation then to write their own letter back to them. Write a letter back to the leaders, whether they wanted to do it individually or as a small group activity. We had a number of small groups who'd done it. And to say, what are you willing to kind of claim responsibility for? What are you willing to own in all this, and as we go through this season of confession and repentance? And you know, I really didn't know what to think. You know, is like one person going to write something or like a lot? I didn't think we were going to get a whole lot. I knew we would get some, but I wasn't sure how much. And I was really surprised by, there was a very generous response. There were a lot of letters that came in and, you know, people signing their names and saying, you know, this is how I've contributed to what's going on here. And whether it was a current thing or sometimes people would go back 20 or 25 years and, you know, they said something awful and caused a big stir. It was amazing because all this sin was coming. It was just bubbling up to the surface and it was being met with just humility. Nobody was like, yeah, you know, I knew you were a jerk. You know, this just proves it. There was such a grace and a welcoming and a healing that came through it. But also then this sense of like, okay, we don't want to be these people anymore, you know, who are stumbling on these areas. We want to be a church that is different from this, that a church that doesn't have this, but a church that is, you know, gets along really well, that bears each other's burdens. We want to be a church that's ministering deeply to the community. We want to be a church of, you know, a certain level of leadership, all that kind of stuff. Well, that was just, again, like a watershed moment. That really kind of like the dam burst when we did that. And that really opened up the door for us to get serious about revitalization. Remember in the first lecture in this series, I talked about until you get to the point of repentance, you're not going to see any revitalization. And honestly for us, this was the moment where it started. This is what really got things going. If I can say, there were two things that really got us going. One was when our leaders accepted the results of the assessment, and then two, when they did this public act of repentance, and then the church joined in with them. Those were the big kind of building blocks. Those were the big, you know, that was the foundation of everything we've been doing in the last, you know, 6+ years, was what happened right in those moments. We decided that repentance was a really, really big thing, and that it was something we needed to stay on top of. So we said, okay, at leadership meetings from time to time, we'd set a schedule. We are going to engage in times of repentance. So we don't forget this. We made sure that in all our worship gatherings, there was a time of confession and repentance and with assurance along it, you know, God's goodness, God's grace. But we said, this is who we want to be. We want to be a people who are always in a place of repenting, not getting comfortable with our sin, but always raising it up to the service, the surface. And like I said, it's been something that's been carried on. You know, years later, we just went through a 40-day season of repentance. We just had 40 hours. We have like a prayer relay where somebody prays for an hour in a prayer room in our church, and then somebody comes in the next hour, and we kind of, so it's like, become like a prayer relay. And we just had a 40-hour prayer relay on repentance, where we needed to repent personally and as a congregation. And so this wasn't this one-time thing. We've kept it going. And I'm not saying this as like look at us and look at how great we are. It was just, you can't have that attitude when you keep coming back to repentance of like, look at how good we are. But as we come back to repentance, we're always realizing where we still need to grow in Christ. And we're saying, looking how great the Lord is. Oh, He's amazing. He's awesome. And we're just trying to get closer and closer to the light of His glorious radiance. We're moving towards that. So that's where we're at. And I'd suggest this movement of beginning with you to then a broader leadership team to the congregation. I do think that's a pretty, it's just a smart way to go about it. You know, set the example, be the model, show people it's safe, show people it's okay to do, share with them the joy of repentance as you repent and saying and knowing the grace of God that I experience in and through this repentance. And you know, you need to create that kind of a culture and an atmosphere. And we're still working on it, you know, years later. But repentance isn't nearly as scary of a thing anymore. And we've even had people share some stories of repentance during worship services on Sunday and just say, hey, this is where I was at, and this is what where I erred, and this is where I made a mistake, and God has done this in my life, and I'm so grateful. We've had people who've come to our elders and share some pretty significant sin in their life and asking for forgiveness and demonstrating the fruits of repentance. It's really been tremendous. And so, again, I say that until you get to this point of having the church engage in repentance, boy, you're just going to keep running into a wall trying to see anything change. Okay, so you have some help because you might be saying, okay, where do I start? How do we address this? Well, one, you know your own weaknesses and your own sins. You know, Psalm 139, pray that God would seek you or He'd search you out as you seek Him, that He would reveal to you. How are you contributing to this? How can you just, whether it's personally or in as a leadership person, how can you repent? Then working with your, when you get to your leaders, talking about more of the church broadly, and even kind of yourself, you've got some help. If you've been doing this, you've got assessments, you have history, and you have a diagnosis, autopsy that we've talked about. Okay, all the work you did, kind of as we covered in our first 12 lectures, you can see it now. All that is just the material we are now going to use for repentance. That's what all that hard work was for, to get us to a place of to know where we needed to turn from and where we needed to go towards. Okay, hopefully that all makes a lot of sense for you. I'm going to leave you with the verse we'd read on our first lecture on repentance, as kind of our way out. But as you use these wonderful resources that you've built for yourself, you are on your way to repentance. You are on your way to renewal and revitalization. So let me send you out with this blessing. This is our prayer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that is my prayer over you. Thanks again so much for watching and listening, and I pray that God is going to be doing a great work in and through your ministry.